The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you have joined this community of Jesus apprentices, where we're trying to learn how to live like Jesus, loving like he did and serving the way he did. Well, I'm so glad that you have been here with us for some time already. I know some of you have been following us for a few months, a few weeks, and others a few years, and I praise God for that. As you know, the Rescue Worker community has a motto that is the motto of Jesus' apprentices. And the motto says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. We need to live according to Jesus' way. Loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves. We are on this journey, the journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Every day of the week, we try to read small portions of the book of Luke and try to reflect and learn from Jesus. Learn who he is and how he served so we can follow his footsteps. On this journey, every week, we have a memory verse. And the memory verse is from Luke, for this week, is from Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Strange, right? But that's something that we'll be studying tomorrow. The Sermon of the Mountain, as we usually refer to those teachings of Jesus Christ. We'll see how these lessons present to us the principles of the kingdom. How Jesus is introducing to his followers the way of the kingdom, the laws of the kingdom. And I pray that you'll be with us, because this journey through the Sermon of the Mountain will be for a few weeks. We'll try to see verse by verse, sometimes one line. So it will be a journey to understand more about Jesus, his lordship, his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and be citizens of this kingdom. Today, we'll study verses 17 to 19 of Luke 6, the crowd that heard the Sermon of the Mountain. We'll pay attention. What are the information available to us about these people that were there listening to Jesus Christ? But before we can understand and try to grasp lessons for our day, we need the direction from the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. And for that, we need to come in God's presence and ask for the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4:16 has a beautiful invitation. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. So let's come before God. Let's receive the grace and the mercy that he has reserved for us. Let's come before him and receive the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can enlighten our minds, our thoughts and feelings, and direct us in the right path. I want to give you 1 minute for you to take, to position yourself before God, to ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance, to clean the path, to ask for God to silence your feelings, your thoughts, so you can pay attention into Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you, Lord, because we have the Word of God to present Jesus Christ to us in a way that we can follow Him, love Him, and serve Him. Bless us on our study today, Lord. Bless everyone that is listening to my voice at this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So before we start reading from verse 17, let's try to understand where we are. We are in a major section or a change of directions on the narrative of Luke. Luke introduced Jesus and his birth and all that. He started then introducing his public ministry after the experience with the water, his baptism, the experience in the wilderness with the temptation. And he presents Jesus on his public ministry, a clear mission, a clear ministry that was based on Luke chapter 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. So based on that, Jesus started preaching, teaching, healing. And Luke presents Jesus as the great teacher. He has authority over God's word. He presents Jesus having authority over the demons and the evil spirits. He presents Jesus having authority over the diseases, over nature, having authority over the laws of the Bible, authority over the moral laws of God, forgiving sin. Jesus is God. He's the great one that we can submit ourselves to Him. But this picture and ministry of Jesus brings some attrition, some friction with the leaders and the group, the religious groups at the time. And we saw some of these frictions related to Jesus' forgiveness of sins, Jesus' keeping of the Sabbath, eating with other sinners, or hanging out with those that were not clean according to Jewish customs, the fasting. But Jesus, he presents himself as the one. And now, yesterday, we saw Jesus going up to the mountain and selecting among his followers 12. More important than who are the 12 is this concept, this typology that we see with Moses and Jesus, the experience of Israel and what Jesus is going through. The people of Israel, they had the experience with the water on the Red Sea, and Jesus had the experience of the water on the Jordan River. Then the people of Israel had experience in the desert, and Jesus had experience in the desert. Moses goes up to the mountain to have an encounter with God. Jesus goes up to the mountain to have an encounter with God. As Moses comes down, he has his leaders with him to teach the lessons to the people of Israel, to teach the commandments of God. And now Jesus goes up. When he comes back, he selects his leaders, right? And now he's up to present to the crowds the law of God. You see, there is no rupture here. It's a continuation, but it's a continuation and enlargement from that first experience at the Sinai and here. Jesus builds up and developing what is the law giving there at the Sinai, and more details here as Jesus gives. I know sometimes we spend time there studying the Sinai experience, but we need to study the Sermon of the Mount and hear what we'll be studying, because that's the curriculum of Jesus' kingdom, his lordship for his apprentices. That's are the lessons. So it is here. And here we see now who Jesus will preach this sermon, the crowds that are with him. There at Sinai, you had the 12 tribes and some Egyptians that came along. But here we see a better understanding of people coming from everywhere, showing that the kingdom of God is an inclusive kingdom. And anyone can be part of this kingdom, no matter the kind of blood and lineage that they have. It's just to submit to the lordship and sovereignty of Jesus Christ. So verse 17. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. So Jesus had close disciples that were with him, that came from the mountain, and now he's in a plain area. According to Mark, it's kind of a beach area, a shore area at the Galilee Sea. And Jesus is there. There we have two major groups, at least we can see here. We could break down in small parts, but I want to focus on two major groups. Here he says his followers. So he was surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. Two groups, followers and crowds. Would you have any difference between those two groups? Well, in my own opinion, yes. Both of them are close to Jesus. Both of them are in the same place. Both of them will hear from Jesus, will see what Jesus will perform. Both of them having an experience with Jesus. But what differentiates one from another is that some had made the decision to accept Jesus as their Lord, to be part of the kingdom, and others not. You see, in the same way today, we can have in the assembly of the church two kind of people. The crowd, those that are there, because it's the right thing to be, or to be, or to do. Be with the service, hear a sermon, make sure that you're being a good person so you'll be saved. But there's another group, the group of the followers, those that have decided for Jesus Christ, to live the way of Jesus, to ask every moment, what would Jesus do? That they are dying for themselves every day, for the ways of the world, for the ways they think, the paradigms, for their principles, to follow the principles and the ways of God. That's the reason Christianity is a way of life of dying. Dying for yourself and living for Christ, accepting who Christ is. And we have two groups here, the followers and the crowds. Both are in Jesus' presence. Both are in the same place. Both will be experienced and see what Jesus was doing. But just a group had decided to have Jesus as their master. So the question for you is, what kind of group are you? We are here in the same place, right? Hearing about Jesus. But you're just a crowd, or you have made the decision to be an apprentice of Jesus. As you go to attend church on Saturday or Sunday, on Friday, I don't know. Are you there just to be a crowd, or are you there as an apprentice of Jesus? Let's continue our reading here. There were people from all over Judea and for Jerusalem and from far and from as far north as the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Wow. So where these followers and crowds come from? Well, he gives an idea. Interesting, we remember that Jesus started his ministry in Judea. And let me grab the map here. Oh, and maybe this camera will be better for you to see. So, Jesus started his ministry in Galilee, and here's the Galilee Sea. And he stays on north. He's where he focuses. Jerusalem is here. So, the news about Jesus starts spreading out. And here we see that Luke used the word Judea to describe the full country. And he specified even Jerusalem, even the religious people were there. And he mentioned about two cities outside of the limits of the kingdom of Israel. Today they are in Lebanon, that's Tyre and Sidon. And foreigners were there. So what do we see here? We see a crowd that is formed from people from everywhere, from Jewish people, from foreigners. And here's important for Luke, because Luke is a Gentile, and Gentile usually is the people that we refer that are not Jewish, right? Luke was a Gentile. He's preaching to Gentile, and he's saying, among the Gentiles, there are followers of Jesus, and Jesus accept them. That's beautiful. So there's a crowd of everywhere, from simple places, as well from the capital, Jerusalem. There are leaders, religious leaders, there's Pharisees, there are people from every way of life. They are following Jesus. And that shows how inclusive is the kingdom of God. It's not just men like the Essenes, the group of the Essenes. It's everyone. It's not like the Pharisees, just those that are clean and following the rituals and the law and the traditional laws, but foreigners, is everyone, is a crowd that shows what is the kingdom of God, is an inclusive kingdom. And for us today, we need to understand that our God is not for a club, a social club. Sometimes we want to put God as a, oh, God is mine because I do this, I follow this law, I have this behavior, I don't celebrate this, I do that, I don't eat this, I eat that, right? We sometimes create a God for a social club, for my social club, for things that I like. But what we see here is the kingdom of God presents something goes beyond any boundaries, any ways of life. And to those, Jesus will teach the values and principles of the kingdom that will start tomorrow, the Sermon on the Mount. But we need to understand and perceive this concept that the kingdom of God is an inclusive kingdom. It's not for a social club, it's for everyone. And that made the religious group of Jesus' time very upset. No, that cannot be. God must be just us. And then the text continues. Why they came from everywhere? They had come to, pay attention, there's three reasons they came. To hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Three major motivations. First, for his teaching. You see, his teaching that was based on Luke 4:8-19, the teaching of the kingdom. For the spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come, has changed. And we see how beautiful he was, his teachings here, and have a compilation, the Sermon of the Mountain, and we will talk more about that. But how he present things in a different way. He present God in a different way. He present a relationship with God in a different way. For instance, in the Hebrew Bible, God is referred as Father only six times. Only six times. However, in the Gospels, we see more than 100 times Jesus referring God to a Father, showing this loving relationship. In the Hebrew Bible, we have this idea of protection, of care, but a judge, someone that is almighty, almighty, strong. But here we have a very relational God. In Jesus, we have this experience of God as a Father. And that is the way that Jesus even starts the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. A Father that loves, that cares. There's nothing you can do that will make God love to love you more. And there's nothing you can do that will make God love you less. He just loves you. A loving Father. It is in Jesus, in his life, and his teaching and ministry, that we see a different picture of who God is. That's the reason that if our idea and understanding about God doesn't go and is not aligned through the lens of Jesus and life of Jesus, we have not a clear picture of Jesus. And it is crucial for us to have a better understanding of God is through Jesus Christ. So in Jesus, we see a loving, a caring Father that is available to anyone. So those that are not, that are sick, is not because they are not loved by the Father. Those that are poor, that doesn't mean they are not loved by the Father. Otherwise, they are loved, and God wants them to experience that love. And that was life-changing. So people came to experience the values and the principles of the kingdom. Jesus, they came as well because they were experiencing the kingdom and the power of the kingdom at that moment. You see, the kingdom is not something up there that will go someday. The kingdom is something that comes here to people. And Jesus was seeing how, and the fulfillment of the kingdom, how that will look like. And he was demonstrating. And the kingdom will not have diseases, so he was healing. And the kingdom will not have the power of the demons, so he was expelling the demons. He was giving a foretaste of the fulfillment of the kingdom right now, on that moment. And in the same way, you and I were supposed not to be isolated, living in a monastic way, disconnected from the world. So we are only preparing to follow one day the kingdom, into the kingdom, to go to into the kingdom. But we are supposed to implement the kingdom today through healing, caring, loving. People, they must have a foretaste of the kingdom right now, where injustice, things that are not right will be right, make right, where the dignity of people are restored according to the image of God. They are valued, they are loved. And the day to demonstrate the kingdom values is the Sabbath day. It's not a day for us to be in a club, but it's a day to proclaim the good news, to bring sight to the blindness, a day to make captives free. is a day to show grace. So they came. In the same way, we need to do the same. Or teaching, or healing, or deliverance. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him and he healed everyone. As the kingdom demonstrates its power and its manifestation, people will be drawn to. And I do believe today we face a challenge on our spiritual communities, what we refer as church, because we are trying to bring people inside of the church. Well, that's not the kingdom movement. The kingdom movement goes where people are. But they are trying to bring people. But as people come, they are not seeing the kingdom. Because the kingdom itself is a magnet. Jesus' magnet. As he leaves the kingdom, people are attracted. And when there is expression of the kingdom and the kingdom manifests, people are attracted. So the best way for outreach is let unleash the kingdom's power, the kingdom values and kingdom principles. That is the best outreach. And people came to Jesus. But some made the decision to be followers, to learn from Jesus, and others not. So my question for you is, what is your decision? Where are you standing right now? Are you just part of this nominal Christianity? Or have you decided to be a follower of Christ and a prince of Jesus, surrendering to him, submitting to him, adopting his way of life, the kingdom way of life? Where are you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, because in him we can see the kingdom of God. Help us to make a decision, not just to be in the crowds, but be followers. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's go for our questions and for your reflection. What is happening in this passage? What is stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? And what specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? And how can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you. May God help us to make decisions to be an apprentice of Jesus, to surrender to him. And starting tomorrow, we'll dive in better on the curriculum of God's kingdom, the Sermon of the Mount, how we refer to the Beatitudes. What are the values? What means to be a follower of Christ? And I pray that we will live and express the kingdom life. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.